Hello there. Today is Tuesday. Today is Tuesday. July 15th?
June.
Sorry. I just wrote down July for something I'm going to announce in July.
That's why
July is on my mind. June the 15th, 2021.
I don't want summer to be gone that quick.
No, not yet. Absolutely not. This is Linda Sims. The name of the program is called A Voice of a People. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app on any electronic device, laptops, cell phones, computers, iPhones, and search WWGH. Now, when you download that app, you have to look for the introduction of search, and then you type in WWGH. You can also call in while we're live on the air by calling 740-383-9944. If you would like to ask any questions or make any comments in reference to the show, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Pastor Jackie was a guest on my show yesterday, and we always have a good time. And I would like to thank her for coming and being my guest, and like to thank her for being a supporter of A Voice of a People. Live with Linda Sims. A Voice of a People would not be what it is today without the support of people like Pastor Jackie Peterson and Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, and last but not least, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. The owner is Cheryl Lee. The location is LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. And thank all of you for supporting this show, supporting this broadcast, if it's your first time. Thank you, and God bless each and every one of you. I like to start my show off with a thought for today. And the thought for today is titled, My World. Everybody thinks they have their own private world and that they don't have to share it with anybody. And if you do make the wrong step, it's my space. Have you heard that before? Get out of my space. It's my world.
Yes.
Okay, now let's see what it has to say. It looks like just a one-liner here today. All right. A loving person lives in a loving world. A hostile person lives in a hostile world. Everyone you meet is your mirror. Did you get that, Jeff?
Yes.
You got it?
Yeah, sort of.
Hopefully those of you got it, because I wasn't sure if I got it. Everyone you meet is your mirror.
Yeah, I heard you say that. I didn't say I understood it.
Oh, okay.
Why are they my mirror?
Everyone you meet is your mirror. So I guess they're saying your mirror.
They don't want to look like me?
Yeah, I guess.
That's what
I'm saying.
Oh, jeez. We'll have to give them some counseling.
Amen. Well, a loving person lives a loving world. A hostile person lives a hostile world.
Okay.
And everyone you meet is your mirror.
I see.
Okay, I'm glad you see. Well, we're going to move on.
Oh, good. Yeah, good.
That voice you hear is Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days. My standby. Thank you.
Yes.
Jeff, thank you. And I asked him what was on his mind. You know, he told me nothing was on his mind.
Never is.
I don't believe that, though. He always comes with something. But God is good, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Very good. I just pray before I come in, and the Lord helps me come up with something.
Amen, amen. Oh, Lord, we just ask you to go before us and make that crooked place straight.
Yes.
open up the hearts and minds of the people that will be listening today. We thank you for your goodness, mercy, and your grace always and forevermore.
I'd like thank to add you. To that and say, Lord, there's a lot of people out there who have been experiencing anxiety and fear and depression because of the COVID. And I just ask that you would pour out your spirit on them and strengthen them, Lord. And we never know how we're going to react to an emergency or to a different sort of situation, a threatening situation. So just pray that you and your family would feel peace and prosperity now, and thank the Lord that it's finally subsiding, going away. Maybe in another year it could be completely gone. So in Jesus' name.
Amen. And that's good news, and that is something to look forward to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I am so enjoying going in a place like Walmart, no mask.
I know.
Go to Myers, don't have to wear a mask. You know, there's very few places where you are required to wear one now. You can if you want to, but don't have to if you don't want to, you know. I never wanted to, so. I tell you, Walmart was really strict when this thing first started.
Oh, yeah, they were. They had to be. No one really knew what.
Didn't know what we were facing.
Right, what we were facing. Or the extent of it. We just know that people were dropping dead. They literally were, you know.
Jeez.
I just thank God for his grace that it wasn't me or you or some of my loved ones, you know. But a lot of people, they don't have that testimony.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, they lost their loved ones.
I know. As you know, we're so used to in America everything being business as usual. Going to have Kentucky Fried Chicken and get us a nice box of chicken and sitting there eating our coleslaw or whatever, and nothing really big going on. Maybe something overseas is going on. Mm-hmm. You know. And by the way, I'm so glad to see our guys coming back from Afghanistan.
Okay.
I think that's a very great thing to me.
Okay.
You know. It's almost like, you know, it went on longer than Vietnam.
The longest war we've ever been in. Right?
Oh, it's horrible. I think they probably did a good job. I was saying for a long time ago, you know, why don't they bring our guys home? And some of the guys said, well, we either got to fight them over there or fight them over here. You know, back then. That might have been kind of true back then, but we haven't had near as much terrorism as I thought we were going to have over the years. Ever since 9/11.
It's all inside now.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got our own terrorism.
Homegrown, yeah.
Yeah. We've got inside civil war. War of words.
And guns.
Yeah, on the streets, yeah.
It would be different if it was just war of words.
Well, we also have the public shooters. Which nobody can make any sense out of.
I know.
I just don't understand what they think they're accomplishing by shooting a bunch of people, innocent people. No fear of God whatsoever.
No.
You know? Because they commit suicide to avoid the consequences here in this world.
Yeah, chastisement.
But they will face an even worse judgment, much worse judgment in the next world. So I don't know what they think they're not getting away with anything, you know.
I do have something on my mind. If I don't want to cut out what you have there,
but well, I'll mention it.
Okay, a lot of pastors are debunking the salvation prayer.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that.
Yes, they are. They're telling people just because you said that prayer, you're not saved. They're saying you have not repented of your sins. You are not godly sorry. So if you're not godly sorry and you have not repented,
well,
of your
they
sins,
do have a point in a way.
Right.
I mean, we have people coming up front in the church and get on their knees at the altar, but they pray the sinner's prayer, but it's obviously not a sincere prayer a lot of times because they go right, nothing in their life changes. You know, they go right back to the bars, they go right back to the cussing and smoking and drinking and smoking pot, whatever, you know. And it's, their life hasn't changed, and they think nothing of it. You know.
Right.
You say something to them, well, judge not, you know.
But God is going to judge.
Yeah. So they do have a point there, but we don't want to get rid of the sinner's prayer. I have a friend that's still a Christian that prayed the sinner's prayer with me years ago, and he's still a Christian. You know, so it does work if the person's sincere that
prays
it.
If they're sincere.
Yeah.
Right, if they have
repented.
He backslid
a couple of times, and I thought maybe he wasn't sincere, but later on he came back to the Lord, so that's just what us Christians do. We backslide sometimes, you know.
And they're really preaching it hard, too. I've heard a couple of them on YouTube, you know. You're a sinner and you're going to hell. That's what they're preaching.
Well, you know, I totally agree with them on one side, totally disagree with them on the other, because how else are the lost supposed to find their way into salvation if we don't lead them with the sinner's prayer? You know, now you can get saved without praying a sinner's prayer. I did. You know,
but you still, I mean, even when you repent, just like David in Psalms 51, he repented. And he said he was godly sorry for his sins. You know?
Yeah.
And he, even though Christ had not died yet, you know, he gave God the honor and the glory and praise.
He surrendered all.
Yes, he did. There you go. He surrendered all.
That's what you got to do.
All. That's what they want us to tell people. You have to surrender all. That's why a lot of them go back out there and do that same thing, because it was not...
It's too radical.
Too radical. And not only that, it wasn't deep-seated in their heart.
Right.
That they had turned this
Jesus
whole life
said
on.
In Mark 13, some falls on...
What? Stony ground?
Stony ground. Some falls on unfertile ground.
Right.
There's just a small percentage that fell on fertile ground and took
it's
root,
true.
and they brought back a 3 or 4% more,
right.
Or whatever, you know.
Right.
Brought back, in other words, one souls.
Right.
You know. So all of that stuff becomes obvious on the day of judgment. Even though we as Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I can say thank the Lord for that. We don't have to stand before the great white throne judgment.
Right.
So that is for the unsaved. And all of them will receive a judgment and be cast into the lake of fire.
Right.
So we don't have to, as Christians, we don't have to worry about ending up in the lake of fire, but we get greater and lesser rewards because of the good works that we did or didn't do.
Right.
You know.
I understand. I really do.
I believe that we get greater and lesser rewards as it's judgment.
But the Bible says so.
Well, some people don't believe that. I don't argue with them, but it, you know.
Well, he said he was coming back and his reward would be with him.
Yes.
The rewards he's going to issue out to the people.
Yeah.
To his chosen people,
yes.
You know. Those who received him, and the works, the finished works of the cross.
Well, you know, J.C. was talking about, he said he's going to start talking about Bible prophecy, by the way, this coming Sunday. We kind of started last Sunday, and he was talking about the apostasy.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is one of the most important aspects of the last days thing.
One of the biggest signs, yes,
now,
it is.
It is, and the world hasn't got a clue. The unbelieving world out there don't have a clue that the church is falling away, and it's a big sign.
No.
You know.
One of the major signs.
That we're going to be facing the tribulation pretty soon, you know.
Right.
The world's going to get smacked upside the head with the tribulation. They don't have the slightest idea of what's
coming.
Don't
believe it.
No. No.
Don't
believe it. And, you know, I just talked to a relative that said that. I don't, you know, I talked about the last days to her quite a bit. It must have shook her up because she says, you know what? I don't believe this anymore. This stuff you talk about the last days, I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what about the apostasy going on?
Right.
You know, the falling
away
of the church.
Away.
She said, I don't know, but I don't believe in the last days. You know, it's just like a person I was arguing with when I used to drive the bus. I think she was just harassing me. But she said, you know, I don't believe Jesus is God. And I said, well, the Bible says he's God. He mm-hmm. says he's God.
He sure did.
You know what? They give you these nonsensical answers and say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't believe Jesus is God.
Right.
Well, end of conversation then. I mean, I don't know where to go from there. If you don't believe the Word of God, where else do you get any information about Jesus? You know.
They don't believe it. And they're not the only ones. You have people sitting in the church don't believe that.
No.
They don't believe
it. Oh, I know.
I'm serious.
I talked to two or three people in this one that believe that we are gods as Christians.
Yeah, right.
That doctrine is still very much prevalent.
Yes, it is.
In the Christian faith. And even in a conservative church like VITM, you have people running around. Well, it's because of the prosperity doctrine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To Kenneth Copeland and a whole slew of them have been teaching that if you're a Christian, you're a god. You know. Well, excuse me, Kenneth Copeland, but what happened to the first of the Ten Commandments? There should be no other gods before me.
Amen. You're going to humble yourself, right?
Yeah.
Under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt thee.
All right, so who's going to judge you in the day of judgment? You're going to judge yourself? You know.
Yeah.
So, and if, you know, it teaches, like, some people believe that about tithing in a way. They believe that if you tithe, then you receive perpetual health and perpetual wealth, you know. And I can say that there are many, many examples where that just didn't take hold.
Right.
You know. So you can't pay God for blessings. You know,
no,
you go
can't.
And pay a certain amount. If a person wants to pay 10%, that's their business, you know.
True.
That's fine. But if you're saying that we have to pay 10% or else a great curse will come upon us, that's where I take notice.
Okay.
You know.
That's your fight right there.
Yeah. Is that, you know, you have a poor person over here, they absolutely cannot pay 10%. You know, maybe they have a disability or something, never will be able to.
Right.
You know, and
but God has grace on that anyway, right? I mean,
well, sure, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think you're required to pay anything when you come into church. That's just my theory.
Uh huh.
You know, I don't see anything in the New Testament that says if you're going to come to church, then you must pay.
Right.
You know, I don't think so.
Well, I guess it's you're giving. I don't know how they want to word it or. Yeah, but a lot of people pay their tithe. They believe in and.
Oh, they get violent about it almost.
Oh yeah, that's true.
If you say you don't believe in tithing, and there's a couple of them that I mentioned that in Circle of Champions, and it's at this other Bible study, and man, they got violently angry. And I said, I'm trying to tell you that you're not required to pay 10%.
Right.
So here. Hand them the Bible and say, you show me in the New Testament where it says that we are required to pay 10% to the church. Show me where.
Right.
It comes right out and says that. It doesn't. But anyways, I didn't mean to get into all that. I was talking about pre-tribulation rapture. You know, I don't get mad at you if you believe in pre-tribulation rapture, that's fine. But what I'm saying is that there's no place in the new, especially in the New Testament, that makes it blatantly obvious that we're going to be taken out before the tribulation takes place. Now Matthew 24 says that the tribulation is the post-tribulation rapture. Taken out after the tribulation is over.
Immediately after.
Yeah.
The great tribulation.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And all that good stuff, you know. And so people have had visions in the last century or so that have been, I think, this is my opinion about the pre-tribulation rapture. Satan invented that so the church would be off guard and would enter into the tribulation still thinking they were going to be taken out and they'd actually be asleep, You know, all, and what I'd like to know is, why bother even studying Revelation if we're not going to be here?
You know, that bothers me too.
I mean, sometimes they really get down on talking about Revelation and everything.
Yes.
But they believe that we're going to be taken out. So why even bother with it at all?
Right. Why would we need to know it?
Yeah. We wouldn't need to know one event after another, you know.
Second Edras. Now, it's not in the Bible.
Second Edras.
Edras. E-D-R-E-S.
What's
E-D-R-E-A-S.
That?
It's one of those books that the Bible mentions that are not in the Bible. Like
where
Enoch, the Book of Enoch. And
yeah.
There are some books that are not in the Bible. The Bible even says that it was impossible to put all those books into the Bible. You got books that, what's his name? The prophet, Samuel.
Oh, okay.
He wrote books. See, all those are not, we have 1st and 2nd Samuel.
Well, I mean, the Bible's pretty big and thick already.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
Right, that's what God was saying. Okay, so you have other books that people wrote, like Enoch. We know he walked with the Lord 365 years or 56 years, and he pleased the Lord. And he was not, because the Lord took him.
Yeah.
Well, he wrote a book.
That's true.
You know, so there are books that are not there, but 2nd Edras, I think it's chapter 13, talks about that after the tribulation.
Oh.
Talks about it like Matthew talks about it.
Jesus
but
takes
more
them out.
Clearer. You know, we're, like you said, we don't, even though people believe in a pre-trib and think they're not going to go through anything. Okay, so we have an example. COVID.
Yeah.
Church's still here.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you something. How do they think about all these natural disasters that we've had in the last few years, probably longer than 10 years, the last 20 years or so? Natural disasters seem to be getting worse and worse, and we're still here, and Christians are quite often caught up in these floods and landslides and fires and tornadoes. People, you know, you see them interviewed on TV, and they go, thank God, you know, he saved me from this, you know.
Right.
My house is gone, my car is gone, but I'm still alive, you know. And I almost am ready to say, well, what happened to the rapture? Because I know we're not in the tribulation yet. I know that. But they say the reason why we're going to have a pre-tribulation rapture, and it seems logical, but, they say that we're not going to come under Christ's wrath, under the wrath of Christ. And I say we won't come under the wrath of Christ, but we very much will face persecution. I do believe that. You'd be taken before magistrates, and as in Matthew 24 again, you know, we will stand before the courts and the magistrates. And Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say beforehand. I'll tell you what to say. Yeah.
Open your mouth and I'll speak for you.
Yeah.
But this is 2nd Edras 13. Now you can pull this up.
Okay.
On Google. It says, and there came much people unto him. Thereof some were glad, some were sorry, and some of them were bound, and some and other some brought of them that were offered. Then was I sick through great fear, and I awaked and said, thou hast showed thy servant these wonders from the beginning. Thou hast counted me worthy that thou should receive my prayer. Show me now yet the interpretation of this dream. For as I conceive in my understanding, woe unto them that shall be left in those days, and much more woe unto them that are not left behind. So some people are going to be left behind. But the ones that are taken, there's a bigger woe for them. Now, this the guy that's I heard teaching this is saying when it says some shall be taken, he's saying some shall be killed. And people are interpreting that as some were taken up to heaven. But he says when you look up the word taken in the Hebrew, there's one interpretation of that word that says D-I-E, die. Okay. For they that were not left were in heaviness. Now I understand I the things that are laid up in the latter days, which shall happen unto them and to those that are left behind. Therefore are they come into great perils, which is dangers, and many necessities, like as these dreams declare. Yet it is easier for him that is in danger to come into these things than to pass away, which is die, as a cloud out of the world, and not to see the things that happen in the last days. And he answered unto me and said, the interpretation of the vision shall I show you, and I will open unto you the thing that thou hast. Wow, it went away from me. Thou hast. Required. Whereas thou hast spoken of them that are left behind. This is the interpretation. He that shall endure, like the Bible says, until the end, the danger in that time have kept himself. They that be fallen into danger are such as have works and faith toward the Almighty. Know this therefore, that they which be left behind are more blessed than they that be dead. This is the meaning of the vision. Whereas thou sawest a man coming up from the midst of the sea. The same is he whom God the highest hath kept a great season, which by his own self shall deliver his creature, and he shall order them that are left behind. So, that's what he's teaching. Those that are going to be taken will be killed.
Well, like I say, you know, there's no verse that you can go to. You can find places that infer, maybe, if you wanted to, infer pre-tribulation rapture.
Right.
You know? But there's no place where it's definite. It's
a mystery.
Yeah, the verses that they insist on using are, it's a very thin theory, if you ask me. Very vague.
Oh, it is very, very vague. Jeff, I don't buy it either. And especially after I listened to this guy. He brought up 2nd Esdras 13 and also 16, which I didn't pull that up. But it's saying more blessed are those who are left behind than those who are dead. They're taken away.
Well, because we're facing a big fight, you know, and we're going to see miracles. We're going to see battles. We're going to see things that this world, there should be great tribulation such as was not from the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Okay. But in the midst of all that turmoil and everything, we have God's power working, you know. He's not just going to sit there and do nothing, you know.
So did he...
not going to abandon us.
Did he zap Noah up from the flood? No, he carried Noah from the flood. Joseph.
Yeah.
You know, he carried Joseph through being dropped in that well, and not only that, you know, through Pharaoh.
I love that story.
Yes, I love that story. Yes, one of my favorite characters. And Moses, the children of Israel, he didn't swap them out of here or rapture them up. He took them through.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
He took them through,
They threw them in the fire, and behold, they survived.
But you have pastors that preach this. I mean, we're going to be gone. We're going to be out of here. We don't have to worry about any of this
What are they going to do if they're wrong and they got their congregation up in their face saying, why didn't you tell us the truth?
That's what's going to happen.
Why wouldn't you listen to people when they tried to tell you that the pre-tribulation rapture is false?
That's what's going to happen, because they're going to still be here.
Yeah. Now we're not ready. And see, that's been the whole theme, besides salvation itself, the whole theme for me has been,
open up your heart and let God prepare you for what's coming. Not an easy thing to go through, not at all. It's the hardest thing to go through. Because it's like every day Satan's up in your face in some way or another, causing you problems, you know?
Right.
And, man, I can testify to that. But in the midst of it, I've had miracles. You know, I had great, very great things happen to me, good things. So, but all this turmoil that we're experiencing right now, like I say, I hate it. I mean, I love America, and I hate all this turmoil. But eventually, America is going to collapse. I don't see how we could get around it as far as prophecy is concerned.
Right.
Because America doesn't even exist in the book of Revelation. And it, how could it? A big, powerful, democratic country, free like it is?
Right.
It has been over the last 200 years a shining light on the hill.
Right.
But nothing lasts forever in this world, unfortunately.
No, it doesn't. And like I said, the first three plagues of Egypt, the Lord didn't even protect the Hebrews from it. They went through those first three plagues right along with Egypt. But the rest of them, he protected them.
And they were still on earth.
They were still on earth.
Yes.
He was doing miracles and he was protecting them and shielding them, but they were still here.
Yeah.
Still here.
And they said still had some hardships to go through.
Oh, yeah.
But in the midst of it, God delivered them from the Egyptians.
Yes, he did.
And gave them great wealth.
And power.
Yeah.
The Anakites.
Yeah.
Those giants, they went against them and defeated them.
All the
land of Ai, you know.
Yeah. Jericho.
Jericho, yeah. So what, you know, why do people think that we're so good and so holy that we're not going to be
here? I was arguing with a guy that believes in pre-trib. It was like a year ago, or last summer or so. And I said, I don't know how we got to this part, but he said maybe America's going to experience the rapture because we're so blessed and so good and so holy in this country.
Hmm.
I said, you have got to be kidding me. I said, yes, America's been a very good, very generous country. There's a lot of good people still here. But this country's still going to have to face judgment for its horrible sins, too.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I was trying to tell a person, they said, I thought so-and-so, I didn't know if that person was going to go to heaven or not. And they said, oh, no, she's a good person. She's been a good person. I said, being good's not going to get you in heaven.
No.
You know, doing good works and being a nice person, that will not get you in heaven.
Your money.
You got to do something. You got to do something about the sin.
That's true.
And the only thing you can do about the sin is recognize Jesus as the Savior and accept Him into your heart and be born again.
Right.
You know. And you talk to people, they don't... The Bible is just about the furthest thing from their mind anymore.
Mm.
You know, they love all their entertainment and the far-reaching effects of alcohol and drugs and all the games they play and sexual games they play. They think that's what life's all about, you know.
Mm. Nothing can be more further from the truth. Now I'm going to read a little bit of 2 Edra 16. It says, "Behold," starting at verse 14, "Behold, the plagues are sent and shall not return again until they come upon the earth. The fire is kindled and shall not be put out till it consume the foundation of the earth. Like as an arrow which is shot of a mighty archer return not backward, even so the plagues that shall be sent upon earth shall not return again. Woe is me! Woe is me! Who will deliver me from those days? The beginning of sorrows and great mournings, the beginning of famine and great death, the beginning of wars and the power shall stand in fear, the beginning of evils, what shall I do when these evils shall come? Behold, famine and plague, tribulation and anguish are sent as scourges for amendment. But for all these things they shall not turn from their wickedness," talking about the people, "nor be always mindful or the scourges, scourges. Behold, victuals shall be so good, cheap upon earth, that they shall think themselves to be in good case. And even then shall evils grow upon earth, sword, famine, and great confusion. For many of them shall dwell upon earth, shall perish of famine, and the other that escape the hunger shall the sword destroy, and the dead shall be cast out as dung, and there shall be no man to comfort them, for the earth shall be wasted, and the city shall be cast down. There shall be no man left to till the earth and to sow it. The trees shall give fruit, and who shall gather them? The grapes shall ripen, and who shall tread them? For all places shall be desolate of men. So that one man shall desire to see another and to hear his voice. For of a city there shall be 10 left, and 2 in the field, which shall hide themselves in the thick groves and in the clefts of the rocks. Did you hear what they just said? You may be in a city and there's only 10 people living. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Second address. Can you imagine?
You know, after this virus came by, I think people are more willing to believe that something can happen to the U.S. I mean, I remember when I started handing out my books at Circle of Champions, those guys were very resistant to any belief about us being in the last days. And J.C. spoke up and said, "It's in the Bible, guys. It is in the Word of God. You know, how else do you reconcile what's going on these days?" You know,
did you ever see that movie Omega Man with Charlton Heston? He was the only man left.
Yeah, I think I did. Did you ever see the one with Vincent Price where this last man on earth?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a good movie.
Well, this is what they're...
You like that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Well, no.
You don't like those movies?
I mean, they're pretty good movies, but what if that is reality? This is what Second Address is talking about.
Yeah.
You find one man and he's running around trying to find somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about billions
of people.
That
one was Will Smith. What was the name of that?
That one, too. And this,
where he was like almost... There was a few people left, but he didn't know it.
And that's the one the guy uses as a reference that does this on YouTube. To think that there are billions of people in this world today living, Jeff.
Yes.
And you can be in a city and you can only find 10 people.
Yeah.
Now that is something really to think about.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because that takes you back, or should take you back, to Noah.
Yeah.
And the ark. They said there were millions of people in the land alive during that time.
Well, now I think that God destroyed the earth with water at that time, destroyed the earth because Satan was trying, when the angels came and had relations with the women then, what was happening is Satan was trying to mess up the bloodline going to Jesus.
But there was only 8 people left on the boat.
Yeah.
Out of millions.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
They give you an idea of what God can do. You know?
Yeah.
They have no fear of God. Well,
people were dropping like flies, Edris is saying, in that dream he had.
Yeah.
They were dropping like flies.
They don't know. Right after, what was it, World War I, the soldiers brought back an epidemic of cholera, and it just about wiped out the U.S.
Wow.
At the time, it's totally forgotten now. Back then, of course, they didn't have the technology we have today either, you know.
You have 4 minutes. I am so sorry.
Wow.
To talk about.
You know, we have this place in Revelation where the martyrs of Christ are standing on a sea of glass, and they're harping their harps in praises of Jesus. Well, because they were martyred by the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he cut their heads off for not accepting the mark. And, well, I'm sorry, but the pre-tribulation people, rapture people, are not invited to this party.
Right.
Because they wouldn't have been martyred. They would have been sitting comfortably in heaven.
Right. But look at the disciples. They were,
yeah,
like you said, they were martyred. Paul hung upside down.
And, yeah.
And, you know,
Peter
Stephen.
Peter was hung upside down.
Okay, Peter was.
Crucified.
Yeah.
Upside down.
crucified upside down, and you have Stephen stoned to death.
Oh.
Who are we?
Yeah. Who are we to stand up and say, we're going to be raptured because we're not going to have the wrath of God come on us? No, but we're going to face severe persecution.
Yeah.
I can see it happening right now, you know. Politicians used to like to get themselves to have a picture taken when they're in a church before, you know, and go, I go to this church over here, you know.
Right, right.
Not anymore.
True.
They don't do that. They get their picture taken because they're involved in some kind of corruption. You know.
Well, a lot of them are corrupt, you know. They are. Was there something else you wanted to bring forth?
I was going to talk about the Raelians, but God took us in a different direction, so that's okay.
The aliens?
Yeah, it was the Raelians are a UFO called in France.
Okay. Yeah, he did, because time is getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
It really is. And people really,
every day, every we're getting day, closer.
People really need to seek the Lord. If you don't believe he's real, give him some advice, Jeff.
Well, you know, God is always, he's always trying to draw people to himself, you know, and say, come over here, this is the answer, you know. But in this world, you have a choice, you have a terrible choice. And that is, you can accept Jesus as your Savior and end up in paradise because of his death on the cross. It's not something that you have done, but he has done the work for you. Or you can just choose to face him on the day of judgment with your name not written in the book of life, and you're not going to win that battle.
Right.
You're going to end up in the lake of fire. Well, we might as well pray the sinner's prayer tonight, since we've been talking about salvation quite a bit. Do we have time to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Just pray with me and be sincere in your heart.
Mean it with all your being.
I surrender all. Father,
Father,
we just come to you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Just ask you to come into my heart and be born again today. I repent of my sins. I ask forgiveness for my sins. And I ask that you would lead and guide and direct my life from now on. I want to be born again. I want to know you the way that we're supposed to know you, the way that you talked about in the Bible. And lead and guide and direct my life all the way down the path to holiness, sanctification, and to perfect light.
Yes, sir.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Amen. It is just so important, because each day we get closer and closer to Christ's return. And
yes.
He says, when I do come, what am I going to find you doing?
Going to be beating your servants?
Yeah. Or out in the street getting drunk for the last time, you know, like, just one more drunk, you know.
Yeah. Isn't that the way it is?
Yeah, it is. And he's saying, I'm coming back. And my reward is with me, like you said earlier.
Yeah, but you could get a reward either way.
Right. You want a good reward.
You don't want a bad reward.
Thank you, Jeff. I didn't have no idea what we was going to talk about either, but
I brought the Raelians just in case we ran out of subject matter, but you know, you led off on a good foot this time. Got it going.
Praise God.
You know, asked the right questions, said the right things. I felt inspired by that.
Good. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From presidential nominee, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Okay, well, let's. Here we go. It's announcement time.
I want to write myself on an independent ticket and run for president of the United States.
What inspired this?
A lot of the situations where it's quite evident that it's time for a change. Everything must change. If there were no butterflies, if there were no caterpillars, there'd be no butterflies. Change. That's what it's time for, Scott. You know it. Terry Tackett knows it. Scott Anthony knows it. Brianna knows it. It's time for a change. Not just in the housing market. I'm talking about globally. Our United States government is spending more money on building prisons and earning money per capita of inmates. And then won't give a darn about cutting school spending. Our teachers and our educators are underpaid, if you ask me. Underpaid. Our kids need to compete with other nations like China. The list goes on.